look at three scriptures, one from Proverbs, one from Matthew, and one from 2 Corinthians. James is actually included in the slides, so you might want to grab your Bible so you can refer back to them, but you can also read them all if you can read that. I'll read it out, but feel free to read along with me. This is Proverbs chapter 26, verses 1 to 12. Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, honour is not fitting for a fool. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. A whip for the horse, a halter for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you'll be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes. Like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence is the sending of a message by the hand of a fool. Like a lame man's legs that hang limp is the proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like tying a stone in a sling is the giving of honour to a fool. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Matthew 22, 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him, that's Jesus, in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what's your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose portrait is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. The next reading, the last reading is from 2 Corinthians 10, 1 to 7. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he.
Morning, everyone. Congratulations on not giving in to the temptation to stay in your warm beds and to come along today, because I don't know about you, but I'm freezing. Put up your hand if you remember the 1980s TV series, The A-Team. For those who don't, it's the story of four Vietnam vets who were wrongly accused and imprisoned for a crime they didn't commit. They managed to escape, and they set about helping the innocent. One of the characters in the show is called B.A. Baracus. And B.A. stands for bad attitude. And B.A. is the epitome of bad attitude. He's a very imposing sort of figure. He's got a mohawk haircut. And he's played by a surly actor by the name of Mr. T. And he uses a particular line in the show. It's become one of those lines that's etched in our memories. Can anyone remember what the line is? Pity the fool. Now, when VA says pity the fool, he doesn't mean that we should actually take pity on fools. What he means is that anyone that gets in his way is a fool and he's going to deal with them harshly. He doesn't suffer fools gladly. And throughout the show, if he comes across someone he thinks is a fool, he either beats them up or he kills them. Now, our passage today gives us some advice on how we should deal with fools. It's not quite that severe, but I hope we get some guidance from it. But before we dive into it, would you join me in prayer? Lord God in heaven above, as we open your word today, would you open our hearts and our minds to its message? Would you fill us with your spirit and make your message plain to us? Father, would you please enable us to put aside the hustle and bustle of the past week so that our focus is on your word and what it has to teach us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the main passage that we'll look at today is Proverbs 26, verses 4 to 5, which will be on the screen at some stage. Or you can follow along in your Bible. And there's three things I'd like us to look at today. The first is, what is a fool? The second, has God given us two pieces of contradictory advice about fools? And the last thing we'll look at is, how do we deal with a fool? So what is a fool? Scripture is clear about how important it is for us to be able to recognise a fool. Proverbs 13:20 warns us that he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Come with me to our main passage, Proverbs 26, verses 4 to 5. Verse 4 gives us this advice. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. So how do we spot a fool? How do we know when we come face to face with a fool? The Bible spends a lot of time describing fools, and today I just want to have a look at some of the more poignant, I guess, ways in which it describes them. Psalm 14:1 describes the essence of a fool when it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So scripture tells us that the height of stupidity, the height of foolishness, is to deny the existence of the Creator. The book of Proverbs most often describes the fool as someone who is both dull and obstinate. But there's no suggestion that a fool is someone of low intelligence, just that they make really bad decisions. Here are some of the characteristics of a fool set out in Proverbs. Proverbs 1:22, he hates knowledge. 10:23, enjoys wicked schemes. 12:6, he's quick-tempered. 12:23, he proclaims folly. 14:3, he gets himself in trouble with his speech. 14:8, he has no reverence for the truth, preferring comfortable illusions. 18:2, he takes no pleasure in understanding. And my personal favourite, in Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Isn't that a vivid picture? A dog returns to his vomit. You see, fools don't learn from their mistakes because they don't see them as mistakes. They just keep doing the same foolish things over and over and over again. If you're a fool, Proverbs 18 promises your fate. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. A fool is headed for destruction. And folks, the sad reality is you can't just go to one place and find all the fools together. They don't herd them all into the one room. They're all over the place. Now, I can't speak for you, but when I think back on some of the decisions that I've made, I absolutely cringe at the lack of wisdom. I was content to be wise in my own eyes. I was content to find wisdom within myself. And it took me a long time to realise that I can't find it there. You see, the gaining of wisdom is an ongoing process. It's a part of our sanctification, where God is making us more like Christ every day. And wisdom is the same. You don't just wake up one morning and suddenly you're wise. It's a process. So what should we do when we come face to face with a fool? Our passage answers that question for us. Let's have another look at it. Verse 4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. It's long been a major criticism of this passage that it gives contradictory advice. So that's the second thing I want to have a look at today. Has God given us two pieces of contradictory advice? Let's have a closer look at those passages. Verse 4 gives us this advice. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. I'm reminded of a story that Billy Graham used to tell. And it was about an atheist who sued the Christians and the Jews for discrimination. And the argument went like this. The Christians and Jews have a whole lot of holidays dedicated to them. The atheists have none. And when the case got to court, the judge banged his gavel on the table and said, case dismissed. And the lawyer leapt to his feet and he said, Your Honour, how could you possibly dismiss this case? The Jews have Hanukkah, Passover, Yom Kippur. The Christians have Easter, Christmas, and a whole lot of other special days. He said, my poor client and all the other atheists have no such days. And the judge said, oh, but they do. He said, your client is woefully ignorant. And the lawyer said, but Your Honour, we're unaware of any of these special days. And the judge said to him, Psalm 14:1 states, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Thus it is the opinion of this court that if your client says there is no God, then he is a fool. The calendar says the fool's day is April 1st. That is your client's day. Now this judge was a man who took to heart the advice of verse 4. By not playing the fool's game, by not answering the fool according to his folly. Because the warning of verse 4 is to prevent us from becoming like the fool. It's to prevent us from becoming a fool. Verse 5 gives us this advice. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. The 20th century playwright Arthur Miller wrote a play titled Death of a Salesman, for which he won a Pulitzer Prize. And the main character in that play is a man by the name of Willie Loman. But Willie's not any ordinary salesman. In fact, Willie's not even an ordinary man. He's a man whose life has been slowly unravelling for more than 20 years. He's in his 60s and he moves between the past and the present in his mind. And sometimes he can't tell the difference. Willie has lost any grip that he might have had on reality. No longer is he a good salesman. No longer is he respected, either by his clients, his employer, or even his two sons. But Willie doesn't live in the real world. Willie's in a fantasy world. And in his fantasy world, that next big sale is just around the corner. Respect is just around the corner. But as you read the play, you know he's never going to get respect. He's never going to get that sale. And you just think to yourself, I hope that someone, anyone, just grabs him and shakes him out of his fool's world. Verse 5 is telling us that someone like Willie Loman needs to be challenged on his foolishness. Someone needs to get him and shake him and say, this is not reality, because he's headed for destruction. So verse 4 and verse 5 are giving us different advice for different circumstances. On the one hand, verse 4 speaks of the person who behaves like he has all the answers, and it doesn't matter what you say to him, he's just going to reject it. Whereas verse 5 speaks to the person whose foolishness must be challenged, otherwise he's headed for that destruction. So we know how to spot a fool, and we know how to deal with a fool in different situations. But the challenge for us is in assessing which approach to use in which situation. And that's the final thing I want us to look at today, how to deal with a fool. But Proverbs is not the pinnacle of all that the Bible has to say about wisdom. The life and example of Jesus is that pinnacle. And it's wisdom we need in order to know how to approach a fool. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the saving wisdom of God which meets us in our foolishness. Without it, we're just left to wallow in that foolishness. The Bible records many examples of Christ's wisdom, and I just want to have a look at one of those today. And it's from Matthew 22:15-22, which Dan read earlier. And we see Christ's wisdom on glorious display in this passage. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what's your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose portrait is this? And whose inscription? Caesar, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. Jesus knew that if he answered, don't pay your taxes, he would have been arrested by the Romans and put to death. He also knew that if he said, pay your taxes, he would have been accused of siding with the enemy, and he probably would have been put to death by the Herodians and the Pharisees. Jesus used wisdom when he answered them. And Paul reinforces where we are to get our wisdom when he says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12, "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they aren't wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you." Paul was talking about false teachers who were trying to infiltrate the church at Corinth. And they were teachers who were captivated by what they thought was their own superior wisdom. Paul basically tells us that they were fools in their own eyes. And he issues a warning that we're to find our wisdom in the Lord. When we rely on our own wisdom, we're relying on a fool. To make that decision on which approach to use with a fool, we must have sensitive, mature discernment and wisdom. And we can only find that in Christ. And we won't be like Christ if we distance ourselves from him, if we distance ourselves from his word. And to gain that wisdom, we also need to ask God. If I asked you, putting aside Christ, who you thought the wisest person in the Bible is, what would your answer be? Did I hear Solomon? But Solomon wasn't born wise. He had to ask God for wisdom. He had to pray for it. When God said to him, "I'll give you anything you want. What do you want?" What was his response?
Wisdom.
Let's wrap up together. We know how to spot a fool, and we know where to get the wisdom to decide on how to approach him. Paul tells us in Colossians 2:3 that in Christ all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Without the gospel, without Jesus, we'd be left to wallow in that foolishness. We're left to rely on our own wisdom. And one who is wise in his own eyes is a fool. It's only by relying on Christ that we can hope to exercise that discernment and wisdom. And it's really the only way that we can avoid being a fool. Let's pray. Father, the life of a fool is not one which we wish to buy into. We pray that you would help us to recognise that being a fool is not something that we should wear as a badge of honour. Sadly, we confess that all too often we rely on our own counsel. And the fool we're describing is ourselves. Would you instill in us a deep desire to recognise fools and to seek our wisdom in Christ? And in his name we pray. Amen.